Okay, thank you, Mandy. My. You ought to think back every now and then, count your blessings. If the Lord hadn't have touched you and reached you, where would you be? Amen. Well, it's our privilege tonight to have another one of our college students that's went out and had a great ministry for the Lord, still involved in it, to come back and share with us. We've had several here lately, and all of them been a blessing to us. It would almost lead you to believe, though, that the Holy Spirit don't like snow. He leads them back down here, amen. Brother Jim Robideau is no stranger to our church. He went, not only he and Robin, through our college. He worked at our radio station. But I was thinking about it there just a while ago. Early on, as a student, in my conversations with Jim, we were talking about such things as he's involved in now, about keeping the church safe and fighting the devil off through the government and the bureaucracy and all that. And I don't know if I said it or Jim said it. We talked about him one day maybe being a lawyer. We need some attorneys. You know that. And especially when one's born again, saved, and in the ministry, it's really something. He's connected with the Lighthouse Legal Ministries now, but Jim's had, he's been in the military. Young men, listen to me. He's had a great time serving God since he left Landmark. I often say when one of our students comes back, there is life after Landmark. You can go out and be a success from our college. Here's a man that has. Flying helicopters in the military and all that business. And I don't know, he may be in the Secret Service for all I know. He's really had a ministry. But it's good to have him and Robin tonight. And I've asked Jim to come on and bring the message. He's got a table with some of the papers on it back there that would be good for you to know about. I don't know what he'll talk about all of it tonight. But Jim, come on and tell us a little bit, please.
All right, preacher, thank you. All right, sound man, am I live? Okay, praise the Lord. I want you to catch every word, every syllable, and every cough tonight. So I appreciate you praying for me. I'm fighting a little bit of a bug, but thank you, Pastor Carter. It is a joy to be back here to Landmark and see many friends and people who have influenced us when we were young and throughout the years and have been an example to us. And what a thrill it is and what a privilege it is to stand behind this pulpit. It's a heavy responsibility this man's had every week for these 40-odd years. Pastoring this wonderful church. But let me take a moment just to introduce my dear wife, Robin. Brother Carter married Robin and I back in December 23rd, 1982. Was that the date, hon? I think it was it, yeah. Okay. But anyhow, and her folks, Dr. Bob and Rita Morrissey, just wonderful in-laws, and, you know, he allowed us to get married. So I praise the Lord for that. But anyhow, thank you folks for being here tonight. Let me say a word again about Lighthouse Legal Ministries. Lighthouse Legal Ministries is a ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church, an independent Baptist church in Ashtabula, Ohio, but it's also one of your mission works here. And Brother Carter, again, thank you. You know, your church supports our Lighthouse Legal Ministry to other independent Baptist churches. Again, we're unique in that I'm a church employee. I don't work for a law firm, but we have three mandates there at Lighthouse Legal Ministries. Again, we are underneath the local church. I have a Sunday school class, college and career Sunday school class. And I find that's a great source for sermons. Now, is my college and career Sunday school class like how to find a wife and stuff like that? So I may preach on that tonight. But but we're a ministry of the local church. And Robin and I are both involved every week. We're out visiting. Even in January, I was telling a preacher down in Naples, we go out in January when there's snow on the ground. I just have warmer clothes and I wear a Gator baseball hat when I go out there, and people understand that, you know, they'll forgive me. Urban Meyer, by the way, is from Ashtabula, Ohio. And so he's back up there coaching Ohio State now. But it's a ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're involved in the ministry up there. We can only travel a limited number of weeks a year because we have a local church. And we understand exactly, preacher, what you and these other pastors need to do and are doing to build your local church and keep the local church going. Because, folks, the hope of America is not the White House, it's the church house. And so we want to be a blessing to those pastors. But also, we're unique. That's one of our pillars, is that we're a ministry of our church, our independent Baptist church up there. But we're also, we are unique in that we only represent independent Baptist ministries, independent Baptist churches, Christian schools. And there are other good ministries out there that need support, and they need prayer, and you hear about them on the radio and such. But we really get down where the rubber meets the road with our local churches and tax issues and young people's ministry issues and issues like that, and anything that can relieve the burden and relieve the distraction from preachers. We want to go ahead and do that so that our independent Baptist preachers can go ahead and build those churches. But then also we're unique because we're supported by churches, only supported by churches like Landmark. We don't go out and seek outside of independent Baptist circles. We don't even seek individual church members out there. We're supported by churches out there, and we appreciate so much the faithful support of Landmark and the confidence, and it's just an unbelievable privilege. Well, I guess I forgot to say greetings from Pastor Jones and Brother Terry Hamilton, who's the other attorney I work with, but I do want to say a word about the table and then maybe get into what God's laid on my heart for tonight. But folks, if you would swing on by there, everything that you take off that table, we don't have to haul back up to Ohio. But I want to just touch on a couple of different things. We have a lot of the stuff on the table. I think everything on the table is new since last year. And we have a note here about, after losing the cultural war, what legal challenges will the next generation, our children in the next generation, face? And folks, if you don't understand, it is about the next generation out there. It's about these young people. You know, the world's going to keep on turning. I'm going to go the way of my fathers if the Lord does not come on September 23rd. But it's very interesting. And by the way, we're prepared. I'm ready for that. God's given us peace about that. But we want to leave a better place for our children and our grandchildren and such. So I've got an article there. I think that a lot of these disappeared earlier. So I do have some masters. But anyhow, if they're on the table, grab them. Folks, again, we are a distinctively Baptist ministry. And so Brother Terry has written extensively on Baptist history. I know your curriculum, the whole reason you print this curriculum, it's Freedom Baptist Curriculum from a Baptist perspective. And so we have an article, Brother Terry addressed the Virginia Association of Independent Baptists last fall, and he wrote an article called The Twin Pillars of Religious Liberty Are Baptist Distinctives. And folks, we're talking about the separation of church and state, the correct kind, and we're also talking about the free exercise of liberty, individual soul liberty out there, and that's embodied in our First Amendment, but they're Baptist distinctives. And folks, in a day when people are running from the word Baptist, they're trying to paint over the word Baptist on their sign, they're trying to take it off their sign, they need to be making the sign bigger that they're a Baptist out there. They need to be running the other direction, running to the name Baptist. If you really understood what was going on, grab those articles. You know, I know that they teach it around here, but it's just so critical, and there's a demand for that in America. Like I said, I heard within the last month another preacher that took Baptist off his church name, and it's a heartbreaking situation out there. But anyhow, we're proud and very grateful to be a Baptist. If I wasn't a Baptist, I'd be ashamed. You know, who was that? Was it Spurgeon that said that? But anyhow. But then the last thing, and what seems to be getting a lot of attention out there, we have an article on the age of Trump. And by the way, wasn't it amazing that the president was down here just yesterday in Melbourne, Florida? And I thought that was kind of interesting. There's something different every day, something new every day with this guy. And if you get that article will tell you, you know, he was not our first choice to be, you know, maybe of a lot of independent Baptists. I knew preachers, we got calls about, you know, somebody wanted to buy a full-page ad with their church for a certain presidential candidate. You know, you had Governor Mike Huckabee is an ordained Southern Baptist preacher. I believe he's genuine, you know. You had Governor Scott Walker from Wisconsin, the son of a Baptist preacher. You had Senator Ted Cruz, who came out of the Christian school movement out there. A lot of our preachers got excited. It was none of those guys, obviously. But it was interesting. We picked him up on our radar last year, preacher, about this time. In fact, that article, I've got a copy of our newsletter from March 2016, where he made the statement that he wanted to repeal the Johnson Amendment. And praise the Lord, you know, by the way, we're Baptists, practically speaking, that should not change anything that we do. We're not turning our churches into campaign headquarters. In fact, if you go back to prior to when the Johnson Amendment was adopted, when guys like J. Frank Norris and these people were involved in politics, you go back to 1953, there was no abuse of the giving laws in our churches. But of all things, can you imagine the IRS breathing down our pastors' necks about what are you saying? And who's using your building, and where's your money going, and all that. Folks, this man stood toe-to-toe with the IRS in the 70s. I remember hearing those tapes, preacher. And that was a day when they were targeting preachers for doing that. But I'm all for repeal of that amendment, by the way. I know a lot of people may think differently about it. By the way, I think it's very interesting about the motivations of these folks when they say, they debate the topic, and they put it this way. They say, should churches be involved in politics? Well, if you understand the Johnson Amendment, it's more than just churches. Right. It's It's not other nonprofits. It's literary. It's scientific. It's educational. It's all this. Why are they discussing? Why are they concerned about churches being involved in politics? I think it's very revealing on these people when they get out there. But anyhow, we go into that. I wrote an article last year about the history of the Johnson Amendment, and it's interesting history, but don't have the time to go into it now. But grab that material. We can leave some masters here. We can also email that stuff around. So by all means, please clear out the table. And then we have a few newsletters and some other things about the transgender issue and that. But folks, I think I got a couple other points I want to say about Mr. Trump here, but I may jump into them a little bit later. But let me just mention one thing. Praise the Lord about this mortgage goal over here. And folks, you know, I would encourage you to dig deep on this thing. In fact, when we get home, Preacher Rob and I are going to have a fight about this. I'm just kidding, but we're going to dig deep, and we're going to send something down here for it. Because folks, if this church has been a blessing to you or young people, this is the church you're going to raise your family in. And you need to dig deep. You know, this church does not have an Uncle Sugar. It doesn't. We're Baptists. We don't get funded by the government. There's no Uncle Sugar. We're not going to pull anything over on Mr. Trump, and he's going to send a $300,000 check. And folks, there is no church mortgage scholarship that you can sign over to this church out there. So, you know, I believe in a crowd like this, especially retirees, and I've dealt with folks. I believe there's probably three or four people that could get together and take care of 90% of that up there. And I'd encourage you to please dig deep and meet that goal. And there's no reason why that has to wait until the end of the year. That can happen sooner. But dig deep. Young people, step up and take care of that matter. But anyhow, I just get thrilled, Preacher. You know, Robert and I don't have a mortgage, and our church is debt-free. And I can't tell you how many churches that debt has created problems for. And preachers have gotten in over. I can tell you, churches, it's scary that have had to abandon their church buildings because of getting induced and lured into debt. And what a tremendous goal out here, folks. Please take my word. What a blessing this church has been, this radio station's been. And I'd encourage you to not let this thing go too far, but ask God to burden your heart about that. But Preacher, I did want to say some things about the religious liberty things that have come up. And things are happening so fast with this administration. And this is all not even part of my introduction. By the way, I can go till 10 o'clock, right? Yes, sir. I know you go a little bit past 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening and all that. But folks, you know, just this morning, and Preacher, you would appreciate that. I got calls all the time. Has the IRS ever revoked the tax-exempt status on a church or whatever because of, you know, their stance against maybe gay marriage or something like that? And the folks, there's been one case in 1983 where the Supreme Court revoked the tax-exempt status of an organization due to the disagreement with what they called public policy, and it was Bob Jones. You know, you remember that, I'm sure. But Preacher, just this morning, the word came out that Bob Jones has regained its nonprofit status. Now, they had to change their area of conflict with the IRS. So I don't know if it was, you know, biblically based or whatever. I feel bad about that. But they did just today. The word came out to Bob Jones, you can donate there. Don't donate to the mortgage. But anyhow, it is tax exempt over here. You know, yesterday, the president was in Melbourne. Folks, where have we had a president that said he was going to hold the media's feet to the fire like he's doing about that? They need it. They deserve it there. But anyhow, that's our president. This week, the IRS put out word that they were not going to enforce the individual mandate on Obamacare. Now, again, health care is a great thing, but again, do you need the federal government breathing down your neck saying buy an expensive health insurance policy with a $6,000 deductible? You know, that's a whole other matter. But that happened this week. There's a battle, folks, within the Trump White House. I got a note there between Vice President Mike Pence and Mr. Trump's son-in-law, Mr. Jared Kushner. And, you know, that's going to be an important battle because both men have the president's ear. But the president is inclined to give exemptions to churches and Christians like us. You know, how much of that he does is going to depend on this battle within the White House. And Brother Terry was telling me when he wrote up this article about the age of Trump that we have here, he said he wrote it all up. He put the Supreme Court justice in here. And then the next thing you know, the president goes to the prayer breakfast. He says, I'm going to destroy the Johnson Amendment. Well, we covered that already. But the thing is, it's just the man wants to keep his campaign promises. We need to pray for him because he made some good ones. And then his immigration executive order, you know, that's basically going to be rewritten. I don't think he's going to wait on the courts to go ahead and work with him on that. But what an amazing time it is to serve the Lord and to watch these events and to be an American. And just, it's a wonderful time to serve the Lord. So folks, that being said, I appreciate your prayers for me, for our ministry, for our family. We're going to be traveling this week. And folks, if we need anything, we need wisdom on, you know, they say discretion is the better part of valor. I spent 31 years in the Army. And, you know, there were a lot of times, if you can avoid to get into a dumb battle, You need to avoid that. And that's what we need in the legal ministry there. And I don't have time to go into about our military and stuff, but I appreciate your prayer for me and my family. Okay, that being said, let's turn open our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. A very interesting text. You know, you can turn on your television and you can see lots, but let's look at chapter 3. And I want to read a few verses here. And again, chapter 3, verse 1 is a familiar passage. I know it gets preached on a lot around here. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." That's verse 1. And so it's in the context of the last days. We're going to read some verses here and maybe pick it up in verse 10. But folks, you know, you can turn on your television and see 2 Timothy chapter 3 really fulfilled before your eyes. You know, it's just headline news over there. Again, it'd be so easy to preach the first few verses here. But look at verse 10, and we'll pick it up and we'll read a few verses and see what we can get out of the scripture here. Tremendous book, tremendous chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But the Apostle Paul, after he gets done writing about Jannes and Jambres and these men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, and they'll proceed no further, their folly will be manifest unto all men. He says in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known," that word "known" is important in there, "my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." What a testimony. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And I think it's interesting they put this stuff in about the Bible preacher here at the last of this chapter on the last days. It says all scripture, like it needs to be reminded, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your Bible and read it and say, speak your word and preach this evening. Father, thank you for a wonderful and great church that's been influential in my life. But Father, I just pray now you would set aside the different things we've talked about, the things outside the church walls tonight. Father, help us look inward. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to read the scriptures, listen, and say, "Lord, is it I?" Lord, help us to apply the scriptures to ourselves. If we need to change tonight, I just pray, Father, that we would have the courage and the Christian conviction to do so. And Father, I just pray we'd go out of here being better Christians for you, and that our town and this church would be changed because of what we read in the scripture tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, I'd like to pick up our text in verse 13 here and maybe speak on the subject of self-deception. You know, in verse 13 it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It talks about people who think that they're going to pull the wool over somebody's eyes, but in reality, the tables are turned. They're the ones being deceived here. It says, by the way, I just think it's great that on election night, November 9th, you know, we saw that on live. I taped that thing, preacher. All the news media people were up there very, very smug, you know, and they thought they were pulling the wool over the American people's eyes. And then as the evening went on and the victory didn't come in, their faces started getting longer and longer. And boy, you know, it was just funny. I went back and watched that one time, got in the flesh and just enjoyed it. But anyhow, but folks, again, we can turn on the TV and see this stuff. You know, somebody asked me what I think about the election results, and I thought about, I don't know if you play this song on the radio anymore, but it's, you know, all I could say is, you know, thank God and Greyhound, she's gone. You know, those big diesel motors are singing my song. I know that, you know, you'll probably play it on the radio station out here at church. I apologize. But anyhow, but what an event we saw on November 9th, where these people, they thought they were pulling something over on the American public, and then it turns out they were being deceived. But, you know, it says here, the context here is the last days. It's going to be a time of deception. 2 John chapter 1 says that there are many deceivers are entered into the world. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, again, scripture is very clear. We know that the devil is the great deceiver. He deceiveth the whole world. And even the human race were susceptible to deception. Our grandmother Eve was deceived, the Bible says. Adam was not, but Eve was deceived. You know, the Bible talks about deception in there. You know, I've read a lot of military history. It's just amazing to me what the trained military people have believed. And, you know, they used to say seeing is believing. And they had photographs out there. And preacher, I can think of some great military history guys that got caught up in believing things out of the occult. And they believed in these things called fairies, you know, and these little Tinkerbell type things would go around because they saw it on pictures. And what they didn't know is people were touching up those pictures and adding them in there and stuff. They thought if they saw it with their eyes, they could believe it. They thought the photograph was bling. You know, the communists, when someone would fall out of favor with the communists, you know, they became a non-person. What they do is they go back to all the photographs and they airbrush them on out. And so, like, these people never existed. So seeing is not believing. You can't believe what you see with your eyes. You know, television. You know, some people think that everything on television is real. Folks, I'm here to tell you it's not. You know, my grandson believes that Roy Rogers shot the guns out of people's hands, you know, and stuff like that, was able to go ahead and take them on in. And, you know, I'm going to have to disabuse him of that there. You know, there's only one exception about what's on television being real, and that's professional wrestling, folks. You know, take it from me here, okay? Just one exception on that. But you can't believe everything else that you see on television. You know, the term fake news is in the headlines. I know Preacher preached on that a few weeks ago. Got to hear that on the internet. It's been around a long time. Folks, when I was in Afghanistan, my second tour, I had one of those rascal news reporters come out there to do a story, and I won't go into the whole thing here, but you would not believe, Preacher, the video that he put out there and how, you know, it puffed him up, and he found these Americans under a street light in the wilderness in Afghanistan. And let me tell you something, they don't have street lights out there in Afghanistan. They barely have fire over there. But anyhow, I saw it firsthand with some of these guys. And then, of course, we saw it on election night. And there's a fake news network and all that. And anyhow, just very interesting, folks, that the Bible's talking about deception. And it says that there are people who think they're going to pull something over on somebody. And they are the ones that are going to be, in turn, deceived. But I love the old statement. It doesn't really quite fit in the text, but there's a truth here. It says you can't cheat an honest man, by the way. You know, maybe we'll say that for the invitation. But anyhow, the Bible says that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, and we are warned about this. You know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, let no man deceive you by any means. Matthew 24, verse 9, take heed that no man deceive you. You know, Galatians says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we are warned about this in the scripture. We ought to be forearmed. We need to go ahead and be vigilant about this thing. And yet look to our text. It says that these days are going to be here. It's going to be a time that we need to be careful on. But what should we do? And look at the first thing that it says that we should do in this age of deception. In verse 14, it says, but continue. Let me read that again. It says, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The first thing you need to do in this age of deception, folks, is continue in what you know is right, what you've learned. What you learned from this good man of God here, what you've learned from this book that we open up in here. It is not the time to change. It's not the time to go a different direction. It's not the time to take Baptist off your sign out here. It's the time to continue in what we, and it's not just what we've learned, but what we know, what the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost has confirmed in your heart out there. In the midst of all this deception out there, he says, continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned. You know, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And folks, you can follow this man as he's following God, and you've learned things from him up here. And we need to continue in those things. What things? You know, I love it. If you flip back a chapter here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look what it says in the first couple of verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace, that's an important word, that is in Christ Jesus. And look what it says, in the things that thou hast heard of me, among many ways, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Those same things that we heard from, that we learned from the apostle, that we learned from our pastor, that we know from these people, we need to go ahead and continue in those things. Titus chapter 2 says that grace that we need to stand strong in teaches us many things. It says that we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Folks, we need Christians to stand like lights in the world and to live a godly life, not a worldly life. You know, it says we need to live soberly. Preacher, my son Rob did a liver donation and a church opened up the opportunity to go on a cruise. And you know, Doc Morrissey and his wife and Robin and I got to go on that cruise too. But it was funny, some good preaching going on, but it was a booze cruise on there. It was kind of funny. And I can't remember, I think one of the guys might have touched us. We need to live soberly in this world. There's never been a time when the liquor industry has been smaller than, say, it's grown, it's been bigger, and I'm afraid to say that a lot of Christians are supporting that industry out there. But the Bible says we need to live soberly. And it's, you can't live sober, folks, and drink. Can't live sober and drink socially and that. But anyhow, it says that we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We need to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then it also says that we need to look for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, Brother Carter, I've heard the sermon. I heard the sermon from last Sunday night, you know, about September 23rd. You know, folks, a lot of our churches are getting it wrong on a pre-trib rapture. The pre-trib rapture is right. A lot of our churches are going the other direction on that thing. And yet, if they quit and cut out preaching on the pre-tribulation rapture, folks aren't going to live for Christ like they need to. You know, the Bible says that he that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. And folks, if you believe that Jesus Christ is going to come before the invitation time, you'd be getting things right now where you're sitting out there. But I hate to say, but a lot of our churches are getting caught up in stuff on the internet, things they can't even see, you know, and preaching heresy and getting off track instead of sticking with the truth, continuing those things. They need to continue on. But we need to look for that second coming. We need to look for the blessed hope and the glorious reappearing of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to catch his bride into the clouds. But the second thing, we don't need just to continue, but I touched on this earlier just when I just read 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The second thing we need to do is look what it says in verse 2 of 2 Timothy. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, look what it says now. It says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Folks, we don't just need to continue in those things that we know and we've learned, but we need to commit those same things to faithful men. Now, it's kind of funny when I said commit. You know, some people think, well, that's what Southern Baptist Church did, come down and commit to Jesus. No, we're talking about committing these truths, these scriptural truths, to faithful men. And by the way, I don't mean to pick on new converts or feeble people, whatever, but these truths need to be passed on to faithful men. Thank God for Landmark Baptist College, because we're teaching people who can go out and teach others. And in fact, they can go out and not just teach others, but they'll be able to teach others, like the verse says, who can teach others also on there. It's important that we commit these truths to the next generation, and not just the next generation, but people who can go out there and pass those truths on to their next generation. And folks, how important is Landmark Baptist College? Thank God for this college and the Landmark Christian School. That's the whole purpose of this thing, is to fulfill these ministries of the local church so that the gospel can go forth, these truths can continue over there. I like what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Titus. Again, I love it. There's so many funny things about the book of Titus. But he says over there in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. And by the way, there's a lot of that needs to happen. But look what he says, ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. You know, we need to transfer these things on to faithful men. We need to be in a church planting. I know that's close to Brother Carter's heart. That's why we have a lot of our graduates go out of here and start churches. But we need to commit these truths to faithful men. We need to commit these truths to people who can go out there and start churches and continue to spread the gospel and teach others who then can teach others also on that. We need to continue in these truths, but then we need to commit these things to faithful men who can go forward on that. You know, again, boy, I wish I could park here more time about, we don't need to teach something different. It says we need to teach the same things. You know, you need to ask yourself, well, if you get a crazy idea, you need to ask yourself, where did that come from? You know, so many ideas, I know relatives that get these ideas, and I ask myself, where did that come from? And I wonder, did they even ask themselves, where did that come from? But so many people, you know, I've bumped into leaders, preacher. I've bumped into Army officers. I know we've had presidents this way, that they repeat or they go with the last thing people tell them. And that's the danger. You know, you can't go, you need to listen to what this man says. Search the scriptures. Be like the Bereans, see if they be so. And by the way, folks, they are. I've sat under this man for years. I've listened to him for decades, and they're true. But folks, you can't take something from somebody that you hear on the radio or on the internet or on TV. You don't know their background. You don't know their history. You haven't checked it. You don't know the fruit of their ministry on there. But ask yourself, if you're getting off track, where did that come from? You know, where did you get that idea? Why in the world were you looking for that on the internet or whatever? It's just kind of interesting. We need to pass along the same thing. We need to commit the same things to these faithful men. It's so important in a day when there's apostasy rampant, in a day when many people are falling away, in a day when people are taking the name Baptist off their signs. We need to pass along the same thing to these people. We need to plant those churches. We need to invest in the ministry. You know, folks, there's so many places in the Bible. This church here is again, so what a wealth of Christianity and ability. You know, this is a church. It's a body. It's supposed to do things. It's supposed to function. Pastor, I was telling another preacher this week, one of my memories from Landmark Baptist College, and I know we lost Brother Mike Pritchard this last year and that, but so many different men that first year at college, I know Brother Marvin and Brother Robbie and these other ones that were here at the time, they buttonholed some of us college students and they took us under their wing. And they didn't have to, but they influenced our lives out there. And folks, there are people sitting in a pew out here. You know, God's given you resources. God's given you years. He's given you wisdom. He's given you finances. You know, let me say that He's given you money. That you can turn around and bless these young people in the ministry out here and send them on. Even Joseph, I was reading and teaching my Sunday school class when he gave his dream to his dad and his brothers. Remember that? The second time he gave the dreams, and Jacob says, Israel says to Joseph, he says, "What? Am I and your mother supposed to bow down and worship you?" And then a little bit later, it says the brothers went out taking the flock, and he says, "Go down there and check on your brothers in the flock again." And they went out there towards Shechem, I believe it was, and the brothers had moved on to Dothan. And it says that when Joseph went out there, I guess he lost track of him or something, but he was wandering in the field, the Bible says. And it says that a certain man, no name given on this, he went along and he helped Joseph on his way. And he gave him, and you know what? There are some folks here, there's some gray-headed folks here with much, much wisdom out here that can go ahead and take some of these young people that may be idle right now, that may not be progressing along God's will. You can take these people under the wing and you can help them along the way and you can get them down the road. And that's the part that you can have in this ministry. Again, there's such a tremendous potential in this church here and then with the college. And folks, I hope you take it personally. I hope when you come down here and retire, you just don't sit here and say, "I'm going to veg out and just, just soak up the sun and get vitamin D and all that." God's got a reason for you being in this Haines City area here, and it might just be to help a young man along in the ministry or to help this college to be able to train these young people so that we can commit the same truths that we received to this next generation there. But folks, not only do we need to continue in these things that we've learned, we need to commit these same things to faithful men, but I want to just go ahead and pick up, and folks, we need to look inwardly. We need to look at ourselves. We need to cleanse ourselves. We need to set things in order in our own life. You know, Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And the Bible says, "By taking heed thereby according to thy word." Folks, you and I need cleansing. We need, just like we take a bath, a shower every day. I hope you take a shower every day. You know, and I hope you take a shower of the Bible every day too. You need it here. But let me just tell you, we need to cleanse ourselves every day. You know, 1 John chapter 1 says that if we say that we have no sin, the Bible says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you want to deceive yourself, if you want to fall underneath this deception, you just say, "I don't need to change. I don't need to do anything. Somebody else can do it." You know, or "That's not my problem," or so. And yet the scripture says that if you say you have no sin, you're falling right into that self-deception in there. You know, you can say, "Oh, that's not for me." The Bible says that's deception. You deceive yourselves. You know what it says over in the book of James chapter 1? It says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Because if you're hearers only, the Bible says you're deceiving your own selves. You know, many of you people can sit here and I haven't seen anybody looking at their watches just yet or whatever. You know, it's Robin does this every once in a while. You know, all that. But I hope that you're paying attention. I hope you're looking at the scriptures. Do you want to be deceived out there? I don't think you do. I don't think you want to, I can get into this whole thing about the news media and all that. You don't want to have egg on your face. You want to serve God with integrity. You want to be able to move forward. You want to be able to influence people out there for Christ. But the Bible says if you have no sin, you deceive yourselves. The Bible says if you blow off this sermon, the Bible says that you deceive your own selves. Who are you trying to pull a fast one on? Folks, young people, let me ask you this. You think you're tricking Brother Carter after 45 years in the ministry, 46 years in the ministry here? You think he can't see through what you're doing? You think you're the first person that's come up with that excuse? This man's seen practically everything but the wind, I bet, right? Anyhow, it's kind of funny. You can't get away with it. You think you're trying to deceive somebody, but you're the one that's under deception on there. But think about it. Look at your own life. Do you have something that's hindering you from serving God? If you've got sin in your life, You need to go ahead and cleanse that out of your life. You need to bathe yourself in the Word of God. You need to come down and make that right so you can get up here afresh and anew. And then if you're hearing something and you're saying, oh, I could never do that. You know, folks, when I was sitting here as a young person, I never thought I'd be an attorney. Boy, it scares me to death to speak in front of people. You know, I could never imagine myself doing what God has allowed me to do. By the way, the first time you get in that helicopter and you're going to fly along and they cut off the engine while you're flying along, boy, you know, your blood pressure goes up real fast. And you know, you got to learn to handle those things. But you know what? If you go out there and you're a doer out there, you're not going to be deceived on here. You need to go ahead and examine yourself on there. I hope you're not trying to pull something over on someone. I hope you're not kidding yourself. You know, you think you're kidding people. You know, you're going to be, if you think that you are actually going to go ahead and get away with this thing, you're like those reporters on election night. You know, it's not going to happen. You're not going to fool this preacher. You're not going to fool your parents. And for sure, you're not going to fool God. He knows what's going on here. Young person, church member, are you being deceived by the devil? You know, which of his lies are you believing tonight? You know, and why don't you make it right today and get busy for God? There's so much to be done. We need to go ahead and continue in the things that we know that are right. We need to commit these things to the next generation, to faithful men. And then we need to cleanse ourselves so that we can serve God to our fullest potential. Folks, if you're lost, you know, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. I started off talking about Galatians chapter 6. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. I don't need to convince you of your sinful nature. You know, if you're an adult, you've done things that you would not stand up in this pulpit and confess to and talk about. And the reason you wouldn't do that is because it's sin. And the Bible says you're going to reap that you've sown on there. If you're not saved, you can come down here and talk to one of the altar workers. You can come and talk to me. You can talk to Brother Carter. You can talk to my dear wife. And we'd be glad to take our Bibles and show you how you can know you're on your way to heaven and how you can be a child of God so you can serve God. But if you are saved, don't be deceived. You can't get around God. You need to get saved. You need to get right. You need to take care of these things today. And folks, I'd encourage you, don't be deceived. Don't fall into that trap of the devil. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity again to speak to the folks here at Landmark. And again, what a joy they have been in my life. I just pray now that you would be with the good church folks here as they consider, as they look inward, Father, is there something that we need to get rid of ourselves in our own life? Father, is there something that we know to do that we haven't been doing? Father, I just pray that we would just look inward and make the changes. We can't change the world. We can't change the wickedness that's out there, but we can change ourselves. And Father, I